hearts. Praise his name. You ready for Bible study? Praise the Lord. Isn't he glorious? Let's get on into 2 Chronicles. Let's talk about us in Christ. Amen. Perfect hearted kings. Isn't that glorious? It gives me chills to think about that. It's not to pump you up, to throw roses at you. Praise God. It just is what it is. We are what we are, all by the grace of God. And that's all the grace of God can do. In the fullness, it grows up kings, grows up those that will be ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, glorified together with him. Praise be to God. That's all it can produce. So I thank the Lord. This is what feeding comes through, because of the grace of God that is with us. If you turn on over to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, the last time we got together, I thank God we saw in this perfect heart king, Hezekiah, just such a fullness of love. And we thank the Lord that a perfect heart is, the perfect heart is full of love. And it's full of love for the truth. It's full of love for the people to have the truth. Not just your own life, but others. And you want to all come together. And the pinnacle of this is worship. And we thank the Lord that everything that was set up around the temple and the tabernacle was all for worship. And it was a perfect pattern of worship. And how glorious it was that, you know, Hezekiah, he brought the people in to draw nigh in fervent love to kiss. And it was, it just, you could just see it overflowing in his heart. And we see that manifested in this place. Again, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's how he works in those that are full overcomers or full of that perfect heart of love, no matter what time it would be. And maybe here in chapter 31, verse 21, it says it at best. It says here in chapter 31, 21 of 2 Chronicles, "And in every work Hezekiah began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered." Now, thanks be to God. We can only meet God with what we have. And I'll tell you, you know, the one thing that we can have is ask him for desire. Ask him for a heart that pants after him. Lord, enlighten the eyes of my understanding to see this privilege of grace, this mercy that you bestowed upon me, the graciousness of God, that you've been gracious to me. And when that opens up in our hearts, brothers and sisters, we all have, we have that experience, not had that experience, we have that experience. That's what draws us to a Wednesday night Bible study, to hear the bridal message. Our hearts have been opened up and realize how gracious God has been to us in the fullness of his glory, in the fullness of his truth. And Hezekiah realized that he was privileged. He was privileged to be born of the people of God. And privileged, praise the Lord, to be chosen of God to be a king for and over the people of God, God's people. And he took that to heart, and he took that to heart in such a precious way that he asked the Lord, truly, "Lord, supply in me, help me supply to my brethren." That was the heart that was perfect in the truth. That's why he could say that, "Lord, this is the heart that I have for you." And that's what wholehearted is, brothers and sisters. It's a love for the Lord. It's a love for his people. It's the love for his ministry. And it's loving the word of God beyond everything. There's nothing that compares. Everything about, you think about, everything about that kingdom was to get the word of God. It wasn't to build a mighty army. It wasn't, those things were after effects. All of those things were after effects. Everything that was put into the perfect heart was about the word of God. Everything else was an after effect. I think of that for our own households, brothers and sisters, that God would help us to just go after the word in its fullness. Just take it. Be thankful. Be joyous in it. This isn't a staunch thing. It's not a cold thing. It's not a hammer. It's love. It's who we are. It flows. It's alive, as Brother Hill always used to say. It's an organism. And it's not organized. It's not, this is how we do it, and here's the steps, and boom, 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 boom. No, this is the Lord. This is love. I don't know how love is done. It just happens. It just goes, it flows, it grows. That's what the love of God is, to a degree that man will never know. Amen. So, you see, as what it says here, it says that, and he prospered. That's what was so beautiful. He did it with all his heart and prospered. And brothers and sisters, that's again, all we can go with is with a heart in sincerity, in thankfulness. Amen. That's what we bring to God. That's what he wants, is our praise. He wants our thanksgiving. He does all the work. He opens up all of the opportunity. He gives all of those doors that would be open or closed or whatever it is. The question is, will we meet it with an open heart? Will we meet it with the fullness of joy? And really, as the sons of God, my goodness, we're the sons of God. And that privilege, we should be excited about our birthright, amen? And thanking the Lord that he's drawn us to know the fullness of that birthright. See, it's not doing works for God that prospers. We see in the Word of God, it says that he loves a cheerful giver. See, even without the cheerfulness of giving, that means that that the cheerfulness in my giving, there's no love in that. And as the Word of God says, without love, there's not any profit in anything we would do. Because you're just going through motions. And I think about that when we come into this meeting, brothers and sisters. By the grace of God, Lord, draw us in here in love. Don't draw me in here in duty. That's not what marriage is. Marriage is not duty. It's not chores, it's love. And it's a love, and it's a thankfulness to be in love and to have that in love being given back to you that you willingly give of yourself. You're just joyful. You're just dumb lucky that this person loves you. And you're Twitter-pated. You're just like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. I did hit the jackpot. And especially with the Lord, there is no reason he should have loved any of us. You know it. But he does. And he's God, and he chose us because he loved us. That's what's so incredible. And that's where you just say, well, Lord, you got me, but I got you. That's why I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me. See, she's saying in a way of thanksgiving, I got you. You see what I'm saying? Not in a proud way or anything, but you love me. You can't deny yourself. And he tells you that in the Word of God. I cannot deny myself. Do you believe him? I pray this really continues to strike us, because this is as intimate, as personal, as sincere, as base as you could ever get. I am just in love with you. I'm not drawn back. Here I am. And he's wanting us to take him as he is. Amen? Thank you, Lord. And how could we not? Now, I really wish God's people would really understand this and grasp it. I really do. I think all of us do. For our own lives, but to pray for more grace and love of mercy. Love of mercy. Love the mercy of the Lord. Do you love David? Do you love the Psalms? I think every time I hear somebody speak almost all, oh, I love the Psalm. You know, anytime I'm having a bad time, I'm getting in the Psalms. You know, I've got to go read the Psalms. And that's a good thing. I even told my mother the other night, I said, Mom, I said, I'll tell you, those 1:30s are just wonderful. Now, not 1:30 in the morning, and that can be wonderful at 1:30 in the morning, but I'm talking about the 1:30s of Psalm, like 1:30 to 1:39. I recommend all the other ones too, but those were so powerful and so immense for the moment that I needed those, and the Lord is just speaking them to me. It's just glorious. But David is the lover of mercy like no other. And that's, you read through those, and it's all about the mercy of the Lord, all about the mercy of the Lord. And it always comes back to the mercy of the Lord. And that's what draws his heart so much. And again, just causes that increase of love and thankfulness to God. And see, what happens when we love that mercy is it brings forth more love. And that love brings glory to the bridegroom. Just like we talked about on Sunday. That's what it does. It's bringing glory to the bridegroom. And that's what full joy saints are all about. They're in love. That's the full joy. And I thank God that he's given it to us, because that's what he wants us to have. So, what's wonderful with Hezekiah is that the blessing of God was immense upon his life. And that's a glorious thing. But yet you think we even have a better promise. Isn't that glorious? We even have a better thing. The Bible tells us so. We've got it. And we thank the Lord for it. But the blessing was so immense. And what the blessing was, is he trusted God more than any other king of Judah. He just trusted God. Don't you love to trust God? We were just talking about it here today and thanking the Lord with my sweet little daughter-in-law. Let's rest in the Lord. We're going to be tried. There's things that are going to happen in this day and age. I'll tell you what, fear is rampant. And when man's wisdom grows more and more and more, you should be more fearful. Because what happens is people put their confidence in man. They think they're so smart, oh, that this and this, and here's more to worry about, and more to worry about, and more. It's like, oh my gosh, stop. Man's wisdom is foolishness to God, all right? And the beautiful thing is the Lord is increasing faith. And I thank the Lord. There's no reason to fret. There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to worry. It's not going to change anything. We've heard that before. But that's not going to change anything. The only thing that's going to change is me, is I'm going to change into being more fearful, more fretful. By the grace of God, let's enter into the rest of God. Let's trust him. And we're going to get to a place where Hezekiah is going to testify that, I should say, the Lord's going to testify through Hezekiah of the beauty of resting in the Lord, even when man's basically determination, or even sometimes if the word determines something. Let me tell you something. You can talk to God as a friend. And we're going to see that. And it's beautiful how ones that trust the Lord, they go boldly to the throne of grace. They go boldly. They didn't, and you just put it out there. Lord. Lord. Amen. And then have your conversation and trust him and thank him how he loves you and just keep reminding him. You promise, God. But he trusted the Lord like no other. He had a perfect heart in all his ways, just as David. He desired the worship, and above all, he wanted the word for the people. It's interesting, too, because he literally, they had built the city and built the walls around Jerusalem. And what had happened was the water source was actually outside the walls. And it was actually outside, when it said not just the walls, but there was even like a basically like a little mountain where the water source was. And Hezekiah had it up on his heart. He said, I got to bring that water into the city. I got to get that into the city, because the enemies could come and they could wall that water off and basically we would be done. And so they believe it took at least 4 to 5 years. He had them picking through that rock to bring that spring right into the city of David, right into Jerusalem. And it's beautiful because those walls and that water and that pool still runs today. It's still there. And it was so glorious because he had that upon his heart. You know, God gave him that vision, gave him a great vision for everything of the protection of Israel, because that's what the Lord does in our lives, brothers and sisters. When we allow the mind of Christ to reign in us, it's amazing the keeping of that mind. It's amazing the skill of that mind and the gifts of that mind. And the Lord will give you that. And he gives wisdom liberally to them that ask. And I thank God that this king, he went to him. But see, besides that water that he was able to bring into the city, the beautiful thing that Hezekiah did, he brought in the stream of living water. Amen. That's what he brought in. He wanted that more than anything. He wanted that truth. He restored the priests. He especially loved the Levites to give out the word of God to the people. And I thank the Lord. Lord, let that continue to be us, because that is the perfect-hearted king. Now, but as God always does, right after there was such rejoicing, we saw how they had the wonderful sacrifice of all of the cattle and the sheep and all of those different things. Remember, they didn't have enough priests, so they had to bring in the Levites, and we were talking all about that last week. Go back over that, because that's some beautiful type and shadow, and just the words and their meanings to us, it's just beyond. That's why we know the Word of God is so beautiful for us and in us, praise his name. But after there's such heights and rejoicing, a mountaintop, there's always going to be a challenge. And the Lord brought a great challenge here is because the king of Assyria said, you know what? I'm going to take you over too. And this king of Assyria, he mocked Hezekiah. He said, look, I've taken over every people and all of their different gods. Your God's not going to be any different. Well, I'll tell you what, that stung Hezekiah. He said, my God is the God. And it was beautiful because it wasn't, the Assyrians had the biggest army in the world at that time. So much more powerful than Israel, so much more in number than Israel, that it wasn't even to be compared. And as well, too, besides that, the odds of everything of their sophisticated weapons and all these different things, there was just no way that they could stand against them. But here's what Hezekiah says in 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8. And he's telling the people this. So he comes out and he says, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. Amen. And I know that a lot of those folks out there are going, what is he saying? Because they were like grasshoppers out there, the army. I mean, there were multitudes and multitudes of them, all right, that were so against Israel. Amen. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, when we have an unction of the Spirit and we speak in that sincerity of truth, how it gives rest to our brethren. And I thank the Lord for you, brothers and sisters, because we are in great battle, great battle. But the Lord has prepared the battle. The Lord and the battle is his. And by the way, he's already won. So we thank God. We come out and just stand there more than conquerors through our Lord, knowing it's already been taken care of. That's what a more than conqueror is. And hallelujah. What happens here is the Lord faithfully sends an angel of the Lord, kills in one blow at one night 180,000 of these guys. They're sent home, and this king, his sons even murder him. Matter of fact, just go on over to, what is that, verse 21 of chapter 32 of 2 Chronicles. And it says, and the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Syria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. And when he was come into the house of his God, they came forth of his own bowels, that means his sons, and they slew him there with sword. The end. See, that's the end of that. That's that. All right? But that wasn't that for Hezekiah. It went on. And so beautiful, his story goes on, and his next story is, after another high, the Lord now gives him a death sentence. That's what Hezekiah is faced with. And here's how the story goes, because Hezekiah is healed of a death sentence, and here's how he's healed. And we're going to read it here in just a second, but to give you just a little snapshot of it, he's told that he's going to die, and he's told he's going to die by the prophet Isaiah, the word of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you know how he gets healed? He seeks the Lord. And he doesn't wait around. He goes immediately to God. And he goes to God. He doesn't call the prophet back. He goes right to God. He turns to his strength. He turns, praise God, to the mighty fortress. And that's what we're going to read. He turned and put his face on the wall, the fortress. Praise God. Lord gives him 15 more years. Isn't that beautiful? That 15, I believe Brother Ty will tell you, it means rest. So he sought the Lord as a friend. He laid it out before the Lord, his request, because he knew the Lord would hear him. He knew the Lord loved him. He knew the Lord cared for him, even to the point that he could talk to the Lord as a friend and say, you know, Lord, heal me. I live for you. I trust you. Heal me. And God did. God healed him. Now, this is such a glorious testimony. I kind of want to just rest in this. Let's go read it in 2 Kings. So let's turn back to 2 Kings chapter 20. And we'll kind of just chew on this for the rest of the night. Now, chapter 20 and verse 1, let's talk about the healing of our brother. Like precious faith, an Old Testament worthy, praise God, a perfect-hearted king. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him. So this is Isaiah the prophet, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That was the word of the Lord through the prophet. You're done. You better get it together. Make sure you tell everybody so long. Give your goodbye kisses, whatever it is. You're going. Well, here's what he said. What he did. Hezekiah said he turned his face to the wall. That means he turned it to the fortress and prayed unto the Lord, saying, here's what he said. I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth. And what does he say? And with a perfect heart. My, oh my. You mean a perfect-hearted king knows he has a perfect heart? Yeah, he does. You know why? You know why you know you have a perfect heart? Because the Lord has put all truth before you and you've embraced it. You went after it. It's what you love. He didn't say, Lord, I did everything right. I've, you know, not made a mistake. I've done this, that, and all this. All he just said, I walk before thee in truth with a perfect heart. What does that mean to you? Well, to the self-righteous, he can bend that a lot of ways. But I'm going to just be real. I just walk before him by the grace of God in truth with a complete heart, completely trusting in his faithful truth. That's a perfect heart. Amen. That's why David was perfect in all his ways, because he was wholehearted with the Lord. And have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Now, we can talk about a lot of things, but I'm going to ask you just real quick. What's pleasing to God? What is the only thing that you can please God with? Faith, right? So if it says here in the Word of God, if it said that right here at the end, that and have done that which is good in thy sight, what would be good and pleasing to God? Faith, amen? Let me ask you something. When do you need faith? Always. Amen. Praise God. In your uprising and in your downsetting. You need faith when you're on the mountaintop. You need faith when you've made your bed in hell. And you know what? Faith, no matter where it is, it's good in his sight. It's pleasing. It's the only thing. It's impossible to please God without faith. This is the faith that we have that God gave us the more, because thanks be to God, he let us live to the time of the writing and the professing and the encouragement of the Holy Ghost of Romans 8 and all of that beauty. But especially, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are the called. Just like Hezekiah, the called. We're the called. According to his purpose. Think of the purpose that the Lord had for Hezekiah in that day. Think of the greater purpose the Lord has for us in this day. Praise the Lord. Doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God that says, I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'm going to accomplish it in the thing that I send it to. I'm going to perform the good work which he has begun in you. Amen. Hezekiah was his choice. That work was performed perfectly. And we're going to see. And we're going to see, God willing, if the Lord tarry next week, There's a very lapse of believing God right at the end of Hezekiah's life. So many ones want to go out there and trash and say, oh, see, this did that, and this was the ramification of this. I'll tell you what, my heart gets so sad when self-righteousness sets in. Call it like the armchair quarterback, if you know what that is. You know, they can always tell you a better way to do everything, but they could never do it themselves anyways. They have all these ideas and nowhere to go. Never did a thing. Like a lot of professors I had, they could tell you all these things. Excuse me, did you ever do that? No, I just taught. What? Come on now. And I thank God, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me tell you something. This becomes real to you, he's going to exercise it in you. You're going to understand what grace and mercy really is. If I'll tell you what, he gives mercy to the merciful. Be full of mercy. And I'll tell you what, you'll be so glad you did. But what's so glorious here is he sought the Lord. And I thank God he could say to him, Lord, I have done that which is good in thy sight. I can say that with my brother Hezekiah. You can say that with your brother Hezekiah. Do you believe the Lord for everything in your life? I praise the Lord. I look back. You know how people say there's regrets. I wish I would have done this and all of that. I don't wish anything was different. I'm preaching to you right now at this moment, at this exact time, with the full assurance of faith, believing God, that praise be to God, we're the bride. We're part of the bridal company waiting for the call of the bridegroom's voice. Where else would I want to be? What state would I rather be in? What moment? How alive? How could I be any more alive? Praise the Lord, and praise the Lord, and praise the Lord. That's the evidence of his work in us. And then it says, and it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out in the middle of the court. So that's the beautiful thing about a perfect-hearted king. There's no delay in praying. It doesn't matter what hit. It doesn't matter what came. Bam! That's it. We're going to pray. Think of how the Lord has done that in your life. I can think of two beautiful times, even three beautiful. I can think of more beautiful times than I could ever tell you. I think back, I believe it's 1987, when that hurt hit this church. And I remember the phone call. I remember exactly where I was at the little rental house that I was over at. And it hurt my heart so bad. But all I could do, my wife, she's sitting out here somewhere, or maybe downstairs listening somewhere. But she knows exactly what happened. I just set the phone down. I fell flat on my face on the ground. And all I could do was speak in tongues for about the next hour. That was it. That's all I had. That's the only place I could go. Praise the Lord. I remember the same thing. In a sense, here we are on baptism night. And having such a beautiful time, get that call that my son has just been flung off of a thing and hit his head so horribly and is out and gone and being rushed to the hospital, and it's just not good. Amen. The only thing we could do is call out to the Lord in tongues. And the same thing as I told you when I knew the enemy was loose in my house, laughing at us. All I could do is gather each and every one of them. Dad, what are you doing? We're going to pray. But look at him. He doesn't want to pray. His eyes are so dark, Daddy. Brought us in, got down on our knees. Not even a few moments. All, every one of us, just like the one accord in that upper room, we're speaking in tongues. The Comforter has come. Praise be to God. Now, this is what this is. It's immediate. It doesn't delay. It doesn't matter what it's facing. There's nothing hard for God. There's nothing that he doesn't care about. He said, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is God. And we've got to really get this, not in our head, but in our hearts. This is, and you've heard me say it lately, my God's the God of Job. My God's the God of Joshua. All of them, it's our God. Every single bit of it, and he has not changed. And his wonders, oh my goodness. And nothing's hard for him. And we know that nothing, whether it's in our bodies, in our homes, in our finances, in this world, the judges, the kings, all of these different things, brothers and sisters, truly, God, help us to know this. He's got the hearts of the kings right in his hand. And he just moves them. He's moving them. He says, I put up whom I will, I put down whom I will. This is all about us. This is all about us. This is all for us. This is exactly what this is. And it's just like with Hezekiah, everything was for that perfect heart, and that perfect heart for that time for the people. And everything else was held back. It didn't matter about the king of Assyria. It didn't matter how many he had. And see, it's just like the Lord tells us there in 2 Thessalonians. Until he that hinders is taken out of the way, let me tell you something. The devil ain't coming forth like a roaring lion. Right here, if the people only knew, judgment has not come because of you. Do you understand that? And it's not you that are holding it back. And don't ever let anybody else ever tell you that. Don't let any pastor tell you that. It's his love that holds that back. You can't do a thing. He loves you, and he loves you so passionately. And he loves us in that regard for what he's doing in making and completing this bride for himself. And in doing that as a one, and us in one, he does it individually in everything that happens in our life. There is a rest to the people of God. Amen? This is the rest. So before Isaiah could get to the middle of the court, boom, he was praying. It was immediate. Praise the Lord. And he said, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David. Let's go back to 4. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. You can see why we get ahead of ourselves here. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out in the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah, saying unto him, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. You touched me. Praise God. Behold, I'll heal you. I'll heal thee. And listen to this. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. So besides telling him he's going to heal him, he's even given him prophecy through this healing. On the third day, he's going to arise. He's going to be healed. He's going to be whole. Hallelujah. So all of this just building for us. And he says, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. You talk about the promise of God. Isn't it amazing? Think of the promise to David. Amen. Think of that promise. Do you have a greater promise? Yes, you do. And think of this promise that never ended in David. He had died a long time ago. Entered into heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the Lord and his promises are yea and amen, and he never fails. And we have exceeding great and more precious promise. Thank you, Lord. It is time to get excited about this. This is what we have. And so it says here, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Isn't that something? And Hezekiah said, and lay it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? I like that. And we'll talk about that in just a second. So he gets the word of the Lord. He gets it laid up on him, and he's recovered. But Hezekiah says, now, what's the sign that the Lord's going to heal me? Now, but he knew something here, and that I shall go into the house of the Lord the third day. Think of how the Lord's dealing with his heart. And Isaiah immediately answers him. This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back? So what he's saying there, the Lord will show you right now, he'll either push the sun 10 more degrees into the sky, further down towards sunset, or move it back. What do you want? Isn't that something? What do you want? Hallelujah. Hezekiah answered, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. He could ask for both. But he said, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. And I was thinking, now, why would it be a light thing for it to go down or up? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's maybe our thinking. It's like, well, it's kind of fallen down. It's easier for it to sink than to rise back up, I guess. I don't know. But you think sometimes man's mind. So he said, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. So he brought the sun right back 10 degrees. It's about 40 minutes, and we'll have a little bit of time to talk about that tonight too. So I love this, and the reason is it gives me hope. Because this guy's a lot like Gideon too. Don't you think that you're not? We're all like that. And God's got to help us. Even when he tells us over and over and over and over. He's good to you, saints. And I know we go through things. But Lord, help us to remember, remember, remember. Just like Hezekiah was telling the Lord, remember? Remember? What do you think the Lord tells us? Remember. All throughout this word, the problem with Israel, what happened? They forgot. They forgot what God did. And they forgot what God did so quickly. What God showed them, told them, revealed to them, all of these different things. But it wasn't in the things that God was doing. It was the thing that God is. He's faithful. And he was always faithful to him. He'd bring him to the brink every single time. But he'd always show them, I've got you. I'm for you. And if I'm for you, who could be against you? I've got a purpose in this. I'm going to build faith. We're going to be tried because it pleases me. And I'm God. So get over it. This is the way it's going to be. And I thank the Lord that we see this and we know this for our own lives. This is the way the Lord deals with us. So he needed a little bit of help. I have to tell you, I was thinking about that. And I thank the Lord, I've shared it with you multiple times, but I remember when the Lord called me to be your pastor. I didn't ask for the help. I thanked the Lord that the unction of the Lord, it just gave me that hope in him. But he knew I needed help. He knew I needed assurance. So just even riding back on my bicycle from getting that email from the church about, would you be the pastor? And I'm thinking, wondering, writing very quickly to try to get back and tell my wife. And there, like I told you, we were alone for that whole week on that isolated place. And there was that family, the family of God that was waiting for me. They were angels. Like I told you, we couldn't find them afterwards. I had their names and numbers and they don't exist. But I was standing in that room, and that man had his hands over my head, and he was praying in tongues. Immediately, right when I got back. And then as I sat at the airport that next day, coming back to do Easter service as your pastor for the first time, Lord, what am I going to speak on? And the Lord opened the Bible up to Joshua 1. Very first verse I saw. Moses, my servant, is dead. I will be with him as I was with you. And then, Brother Ty will tell you, here they're praying over me right here in that anointing, even though I knew I was anointed back in Mexico. Huh? I believe I was anointed coming down the chute as my mom was giving birth, speaking in tongues. What do you think? You think he has us like that? I know he does. He knows us in the womb. And we've got a better promise. But then here comes that little oil they touched my head with. That burned a mark in my forehead for over 30 days. Paulie laughed every day. He's reminding you. He's reminding you. I'll just tell you, I guess my faith was that weak. But then I realized it wasn't my faith at all. It was the one that he gave me. Do we get to the point? Okay, Lord, I believe you. Just like Gideon. Well, you got to make that map wet once. Well, let's just do it one more time, just in case it was a lucky shot. And you know, the Lord's choice was still him. Was it insulting to God? No. He knows us, doesn't he, sis? Yeah, he does. He just knows us. And sometimes he knows we're slow to believing him. Sometimes he knows that we're going to be hesitant. We're going to be fearful. We're going to doubt. We're going to have all these different things. But he says this, I chose you because I love you. And it's the same thing when you fall in love. You really can't explain why. You can try to think of the qualities and all of these different things, but it's that one. And that's you. And that's God. So you just leave it there. Now, one sweet thing, more sweet thing, I should say, and I thank God, you know, we have the Word. And just like the Word coming forth tonight, and that's the Word of God. It's not how the Word of God is presented or spoken. It's the Word. We want the unction of the Holy Ghost. We need the anointing upon us. The Spirit is the one that gives the increase. But it's the Word, saints. That Word's perfect, isn't it? And the deeper, and as the Lord allows us to see, in a sense, the complexity of the perfectness of God. And that love story so deeply woven into all of the Scriptures. You don't doubt him. And see, it's love that causes you not to doubt. It's not proof of things. It's not events. It's not a miracle. Just like Israel, they got more miracles than anybody, but they still never believed in God. When you know the ways of God, you know it's love. That's God's way. And what our life is about, and the people that even naturally that we trust the most, that we have the most confidence in, are the ones that we believe or know that love us. Amen? There's nothing that can compare to God. You know he loves you. And then he takes you deeper into these Scriptures, and he shows you how endlessly he's been in love with you since ages past. And you see that pattern over and over throughout the Word of God, and it's deeper in its depth, and it's woven in, and the meanings of these words, and how it's so exact, and it never varies, and it's you, and it's every single time. And then he says, I got more to show you, and it'd never be exhausted. Well, one thing that's pretty interesting about what we read tonight about the, where he took it back 10 degrees, 10 degrees is 40 minutes. If you do the math, and it's not a hard math, but if you do the math, 10 degrees of taking the thing back, there's 360 degrees, okay, so that would be 36. If you go 36 times 40 minutes, you get 24 hours, okay? So that's 40 minutes, all right? It's kind of interesting. There was another time in the Word of God that the Lord held back the day, and that was when Joshua was in a battle, all right? And Joshua was just cleaning up on the wicked. I mean, cleaning up on them. And he said, Lord, we're kicking it so good. I need some more time. I need more light. And you know what the Lord did? He stayed the day. And it said for the most part of the day. And then as they got into that, they figured it out. Well, I'll tell you how they got figured out. And whether you believe it or not, they were, and it's so funny, but allegedly, and I'll just say it this way, allegedly, NASA was doing calculations on how long they could put these satellites up and how long they'd last. You know, some of these satellites, they last 100 years or whatever it is, and how they would go through the orbit and all of this different things. And so they put it into the computers about how many days and years and all of this different things, and basically they were looking at the rotation of the planets around the sun and all of this stuff. Well, what happened is the computer got bogged down and it started to give an error message. It kept going error. Well, the problem was it was missing a day. One day. If you take those two things that happened, you had one that was basically 23 hours and 20 minutes, and the other one was 40 minutes. So you got 24 hours. You had your day. Now, again, as man always does, they deny anything about God. Oh, that didn't happen. Well, one man attests that was part of that whole crew and everything. He said, oh, yes, it did. And they knew that that is exactly the only explanation that there was a missing day. But I am so thankful. I don't need that. I don't need that. And brothers and sisters don't need that. And don't have to look at that. But when the Lord does show you something like that once in a while, you can smile. And you can say, you know, Lord, you are that good. And you are that exact. And you are that right. Just trust him, saints. Amen. Let's stand, be dismissed. Praise God. Good night. Amen. Only thing better, even so, Lord, come. Praise his name.